I am absolutely delighted to welcome you all here to USC. I think we're going to have a gorgeous day once the fog clears out. So just very glad that you're here. Couple of quick comments about this workshop. As you know, there is a rule, which is that you're not here to present your latest research result alone, but for most of you, you're here to discuss issues of concern to all of us. I guess what we have in mind is a forum where the leading researchers of our area get a chance to talk to each other individually, one-on-one, but also as a group to constructively engage each other in the ideas that are not just what we're working on individually, but what it is that as a collective we should be doing in this research area. There is definitely a strong mix of theoretical researchers and experimental researchers here. And I hope you'll make the effort not only to talk to the people you already know at this workshop, but make those bonds with people working in areas maybe orthogonal or perhaps related, but in a different subfield of the area. So I don't want to say too much. Without much further ado, we'll get started with the program. Just a minor comment. We had a lot of questions about whether you should have slides or should you not have slides. It's entirely up to you. But let's keep the presentation part of your panels short. And the bulk of the panel is discussion, both within the panel members, but also the group as large. It's a fairly small room. We've kind of chosen it so that everybody can really interact in every panel.
Okay. So, welcome everybody from me too. Zach is going to be, as you know, the first speaker. You all know that Zach is from Berkeley, and he's going to talk about some very interesting stuff.
Yeah, so I'm not sure I followed the instructions very well.
They didn't apply to you, John.
Okay, so I will present three ideas that are from two students, so Libin Jiang and Jun Li. And the three ideas have something to do with wireless. The first idea is a zero collision MAC protocol. It's due to Ji Wong Li. It's a simple idea that this is a small variation on TDM, but applied to variable size packets. You see it converges quickly, and it has nice properties, and it should work well over Wi-Fi-like hardware. We have not tried, but it's the second one is a fair MAC protocol, and the idea is to try to make the protocol more fair. So it's also a very simple idea due to Libin Jiang. The third idea is a less obvious idea due to Libin Jiang, so which is a decentralized MAC flow control protocol to maximize social welfare in ad hoc networks. And I say almost, because of course it maximizes that social welfare under idealized assumptions that I will clarify. Okay, the first example, idea is very simple. It's a zero collision MAC protocol. So I will illustrate it in the case of three nodes that want to talk. And we assume that the system is designed assuming a maximum number of four nodes. Of course, you can replace 3 and 4 by 372 and 256 or whatever. You can change the numbers. But I will, for the simplicity of the exposition, I will assume there are three nodes and the system could absorb four nodes. The nodes will choose a different number each in 1, 2, 3, 4. And that number that they pick will be the order in which they speak. So let's assume that A picks 1, B picks 4, and C picks 2, and we'll see how they choose those numbers. Right? Then they transmit in that order. So A will transmit because it has number 1, then C because it's number 2, then there will be a little gap, then there will be B. So 1, 2, a gap, B, right? And they will repeat that forever. So if it were TDM, where the nodes would transmit in time slots, then they would transmit A, C, a blank spot, and then B, A, C, blank, and then B. So it would be TDM. But that works well if you have fixed size packets. But also you waste quite a bit of time when there are blanks. So the idea of Ji Wong is let's modify that to make it variable size. And there's an implicit numbering that is happening. So let's say that A starts, A gets number 1, then there is a small inter-frame space, like a diff in Wi-Fi. Then C knows that it should talk. Then there's another frame. Then there's a slot where somebody could talk, but nobody talks. then at the end of that B talks, then it's A, C, B. So the little mini slots here are used to keep track of the ordering, the numbering. Okay, so that's how it goes. Now the question is, what will happen if, say, if C skips a turn, so if C does not have anything to say, right, then it will be A, then after A should come 2, but 2, C does not want to talk, so that mini slot stays empty, and there is a mini slot where number 3 could speak, but there is no number 3, and then B speaks, and then A, C, B. The problem is, how do you choose the slots? So the algorithm is very simple. You try a free slot, and if you collide with somebody else, you try another slot. Right? And you keep track of the slots that have been reserved already. So this is an example of how things go, right? So for a while, the system is idle, then somebody starts talking. You see that A starts talking, so A implicitly gets number 1. Then, after that, there are the slots 2, 3, 4 that are idle. And they say that B and C arrive at the time, and they are watching this, and they say, oh, the slots 2, 3, and 4 are idle, so we will pick slots. So B and C pick a slot in 2, 3, 4, and they choose 3. Both of them choose 3, because they do it independently. So they both start transmitting at the same time, and they collide. So at that time, the nodes B and C realize that they've collided, so they pick new slots in 2, 3, 4. So and let's assume that C chooses 2 and B chooses 4. So when it's now the time of 4, B talks, and then 1, C, B. So it's a very simple idea. So this is how it goes, right? So A has picked number 1, then B and C are watching what's going on. They say, oh, the slots 2, 3, 4 are empty. They pick a slot at random. They pick 3. They collide. Then they pick 2 and 4. And then after that point, they will not collide again. It converges very quickly, so that if nodes come and go, they quickly reconverge. There will be a few collisions, but then they reconverge. You could assign more than one slot to one station, so if you have an access point, then maybe the access point will get more slots, and so on. Right? The number of slots can be adapted to the demand, so if you keep on colliding, then you know, oh, maybe we will agree that we should double the number of slots. Right? And then the system adapts. You can also divide the number of slots. Realize that there are too many empty slots. So it's a simple idea, and it works well. So this is an example of the good put of the network as a function of the number of stations. It works very well. It's the red line, right? The CSMA is the green light, and it falls with the number of nodes because you have too many collisions. The jitter is very low because it's essentially TDM, right? So you have a good capacity for voice. And it mixes well with the web traffic, which CSMA does not do well. So simple idea. Right. The next idea, so if you have questions, you can ask them. Yes?
Isn't this token ring? Aren't you basically...
It's like an implicit token ring. Yeah, it's very similar to a token ring. But it's... all those ideas are, you speak, you choose an order in which you speak, and the order is adapted.
In the math of setting, there's also, I mean, you said that you can adapt the total number of slots that you have. I'm thinking that if you want to be efficient, the issue is that there will be some areas, let's call them neighborhoods, that they don't really interfere with other neighborhoods in some sense. So there must be, if they independently increase the number of slots at similar times, you will always essentially end up with a lot more slots because there are some boundaries within which you are interfering with people. So there is a distributed issue
right,
there
right.
About how you kind of separate neighborhoods.
Yes, true.
So that
true.
Have
we have looked at this for a single domain.
Okay.
So there are many issues to deal with. Okay, so the other idea is, of Libin is to try to correct for the fairness, the short-term fairness of protocols. So the basic ideas are that multiple access is random in any typical multiple access. So that results in short-term unfairness. So for example, in Wi-Fi, if you gain access, then and the other people lose, then the other people will increase their congestion, their back of window, so that you tend to win again. So the winners tend to win for a long time, and at least to unfairness. So the idea of Libin is that we can correct that by letting a node transmit in proportion to its waiting time. So if you have been waiting for a long time, then you talk more. And by doing that, you correct the unfairness. And the trick is to see exactly how to do this, right? And you can think of many ways that do not work. There's one way that works, is to count the time in virtual slots. And the virtual slot is the transmission of a collision. So let me give you an example. So if you wait t virtual slots, you transmit t times r bits, where r is the number that has been agreed upon. Okay, so this is an example. Okay, so let's say c transmits, a transmits, then there's a collision. Then b transmits. Then it's a's turn to transmit. A has been waiting for t1 slots, 1, 2, 3 slots. So t1 is equal to 3. I've been waiting for 3 slots, so I can transmit 3 times r bits. Now, how do I transmit t times r bit? Well, you could have little packets separated by a slit, for example, in Wi-Fi, right? And then cutting is like that. The collision then B looks, it has also waited 3 slots, it transmits 3 times r. And then C gets access, it has waited for 7 slots, it transmits 7 times r. And of course, if you do that, then you realize that within a period of n virtual slots, each node will transmit about n r bits. Now, the number of virtual slots that you wait will be typically the number of nodes that are in the system, right? Because you have probably one over n of getting access, so you have you wait n in the rate. So this number is stable, it does not explode, right? And it results in a fair protocol. You can introduce different ways for different nodes if you need to, right? If some nodes have more to say. You can adapt the R and the variation. So this is an example. This is a CSMA. The time here is measured in milliseconds, so this is 25 seconds. Right? And this is the CSMA throughput of 10 nodes, and you see fairly big fluctuations. And then here, with this protocol, it's essentially very fair on the short time scale. Okay, the next idea is less trivial, so let me try to explain it more slowly.
So we'll sift everything by 15 minutes, so you have your time.
So how much time do I have? I have 15 minutes? Or
yeah.
Maybe I will not need 15 minutes. So the idea is to maximize the total utility of an ad hoc network. And the mechanism that Libin proposes is to adjust the backoff times based on the difference in backlogs between the sender and the receiver, at each link. So, okay, roughly it goes like this. So I have many nodes, right? They collide. Some links conflict, some links do not. We consider a link from A to B. So A is the sender of a link, B is the receiver of that link. The waiting time at A is an exponential time. Are you okay, Patrick? Yeah? So it's an exponential waiting time with a rate R. Right? So R is the rate of my exponential waiting time, the random backoff times. And R, so the mean is 1 over R, right? R itself is defined as the exponential of little r. So it's an exponential waiting time with an exponential rate in R, right? Now, R of n, the waiting time of time n, is proportional to the difference in Q length between the sender and the receiver. So QAN is a backlog at node A for the packets destined to B. So each node will keep separate queues for the different flows. And QBN is the backlog of those packets of B.
So, okay. The QBN is the total or of B to A?
It's the packets from A at B.
At total level.
You have the flow queue.
The packets that have arrived.
The flow queue?
Per flow queue. Okay. So alpha is the step size. At the ingress, we do what Peter and Mike do. We adjust the input rate according to the backlog at the input queue, the ingress queue. So this is an example where we have the nodes are in a grid, and the model is that nodes that are neighbors can talk to each other, but two links, so this is a link, right? two links will conflict if they have a node that is one step away. So for example, okay, that link and that link certainly collide. This link and this link conflict because they have one node, so the receiver and the sender are one step away. So this is the model for interference. It's a simple model. And then we have three flows. The flow one that goes like this, right? The staircase. Flow two goes straight up, and flow three goes across. And you want to maximize the social welfare. So here the utility of a flow is the logarithm of the rate. So you want to maximize the sum of the logarithms or the product of the rates, subject to the capacity constraints of the graph. If you do it analytically, you find the optimum rates. 0.1, so 1.9, 1.6, 1.6 for the three flows. And the algorithm does that by adjusting the exponential within times. Now, this is, so it converges to the correct rates. The assumption in the simulation is that we have perfect CSMA. So if two nodes pick a slightly different exponential within time, the one with the smallest one will get to transmit, the other one will not. And this is assumed even if those times are very, very small. So it's idealized, but in practice it will not be quite like that. So in practice you will lose throughput, you will not achieve the optimum. And we don't know yet how far you will be from the optimum. Okay, some details. So we designed a distributed algorithm that solves the following problem. You maximize over U and S and F. S and F is an implicit variable, it does not show up in the picture. So what are those matters? Well, the first term is an entropy, minus sum of U log U. It's the entropy of the distribution of the independent sets. So independent sets will form when the nodes transmit. But they will be independent sets because of the perfect CSMA, right? So only nodes that do not conflict can transmit at the same time. And so you have a collection of independent sets. They are not all maximal independent sets, but you have many independent sets. For example, not transmitting is an independent set. A single link transmitting is another independent set, and then some of them are maximum independent sets. So little I denotes one independent set. U sub I is the probability that independent set I is transmitting. So there is if you look at this exponential model, so the links wait for an exponential time, then one will transmit. It will transmit for some time that you assume to be exponentially distributed. It does not really matter because those results are insensitive. So you look at this Markov chain of which independent sets are transmitting, and that has a Gibbs distribution. It's a simple product form. So you can write down the entropy. The entropy will depend on the exponential waiting times, on the rates of those exponential times. So if you know the rates, you will know the distribution U of I, and you will know the entropy. So you try to maximize this entropy. And at the same time, you try to also increase the social welfare. So Fm is the rate of flow n, and it has a utility Vn of Fm. So you try to maximize the social welfare. Now, what is the... So there are constraints, right? The solid state should be large enough to keep up with the flows. So when you formulate the optimization problem, you say, I want to maximize this subject to some feasibility constraint, which is that I serve flow m fast enough to keep up with Fm. So the flow rate, you see, is the service rate of at a link depends on the probability that the link is active. So it's the sum over the independent sets, or the probabilities of these independent sets, over all the sets that contain that link. So that tells me the fraction of time that this link is transmitting. Right? And from that, I can tell whether this is big enough to keep up with the flow Fm. And the idea is that if you maximize the entropy, then if the rates Fm are feasible, subject to those capacity constraints, right, of the network, then maximizing the entropy will result in rates that meet those feasible rates. So there is a balancing act between balancing the maximizing the entropy, so trying to increase the Fm, and then choosing the exponential service time so that you keep up with those rates.
This is going to depend on the convergence, it's going to depend heavily on that. So the optimum will depend on beta. So
not just the optimum, the converge.
No, it will converge. It will always converge because we assume we are looking for a solution that is feasible, right?
No, it will converge, but how fast it will
converge? Yes, probably, right? Probably, yeah.
Because it's like indeterministic annealing.
Yes.
Precisely, exactly like that. And depending on the schedule, you have an iteration.
Yes.
Are you
going to
keep beta constant?
The beta is constant. Yeah, we are not doing
symmetric
annealing. We fix the beta. So we are not trying.
No. This is very reminiscent of deterministic annealing, where the convergence is like, depends on beta a lot. So if you keep beta constant, you're going to have very slow convergence.
Well, this is not quite the temperature, although, right? This is not the temperature.
I put on beta on the other side.
The beta is a trade-off between essentially delays and the welfare.
Yeah.
So it is true that you have a different problem for a different beta, and the convergence will depend on beta, but I don't know how.
Okay.
It's not quite the same as familiar. Okay, so now.
I can.
Yes.
About this perfect CSMA. So essentially, there are no collisions here.
Right.
If there are any idle line probabilities and stuff like that.
Right.
Essentially, it's not really CSMA. It's something in between CSMA. It's, let's say, a collision-free scheduler that might not be optimal. Let me put it this way. So it's a, right? It's not the best collision-free scheduler you can come up with, but it's a collision-free scheduler.
Right. Right. That's right. But you adjust the exponential times so that it's good enough to carry the flows.
Okay.
You are not looking for the solving an NPR problem in a polynomial time.
Okay.
So, clear enough.
Yes.
You're looking for feasible scheduling.
Right. And the reason I'm asking this is because when you talk about the service rate being up, it would be quite hard to figure out what the service rate would be if you had collisions and idle times affecting the actual capacity.
True.
Okay. So, you assume that you know this because it doesn't say so.
True.
And the other question I have is, there is this joint optimization of scheduling and rate control framework that's NES, Srikan, and other guys have been doing. I was talking to Srikan, and he was telling me that there are some guys, I think from Bell Labs, I'm not sure, that they were using this difference. So they were using a queue per link, and then they were measuring the difference, basically the. And then they would changing the probability by which you would try to access the map channel in order to try to do something like that. I don't know if.
But I think you can do an ALOHA version of this.
This
right.
is basically what
right.
they have done. So,
yes. So this is not ALOHA, this is perfect CSMA.
Right, so I'm just saying
right.
that it
right.
has a similar flavor in the sense
yes.
that they look at the queue size of the next guy downstream versus your queue size.
Yes,
and
so
then they
is,
change the.
The idea has been around.
It's right.
Tassiolat.
Right.
Right. Right.
Right, it's about right. Spend, yes.
So,
it so the back pressure thing has been around, but
right.
trying to do.
But this is a more serious question. I'm not that this is not serious.
Right.
What exactly you assume that everybody knows and when?
So what I assume is that every.
Because I'm not going to be able to know exactly the cues when I need them, right? So there are going to be delays and there will be errors. So what is.
Yeah,
the
there will be a little delay. Yeah. So
not a little.
Well, okay. So the way we think it would work is that. You send a packet in the header, you indicate your queue length. And then when you get a MAC right away, in which the destination tells you its queue length. So you get a delayed view.
But
of
again, unless you have a separate control system, there's going to be random delay between and a random staleness to the data between what you send.
Yes.
Yes. So what's the impact of that?
We don't know. We don't know. So I said this almost, right? Because we assume it's perfect CSMA. We assume that this delay in knowing the backlog, the back pressure is negligible. Okay, so what is interesting is that if you try to solve this problem, we know already that if you want to maximize the welfare, then you can decompose the problem. So if you write the optimization subject to the capacity constraints, well, the problem decomposes, and then you add it with the back pressure ideas. The same happens because of the specific product form of this state distribution as a function of the exponential rates. The problem decomposes so that the distributed algorithm becomes a maximum back pressure idea. Right? So each node, the rate should be exponential in the back pressure, and moreover, and the control. from here, but this should be minus, right?
So at the ingress, it's the conditional result that you should maximize the utility of the float minus the Q length times the float. So you should stop when the Q length is too large. So the old variables are computed locally, and they correspond essentially to the Q max. So similar to TCP also, right? When you look at the old variables, they become proportional to the Q length of the router. The same thing happens here for the same reasons. So the summary. So zero collision is a simple round robin, like the token idea. It works well. It should be easy to implement in Wi-Fi, we think. Then the Fermat idea is to improve the short-term fairness. So if you send more, if you have waited longer, the trick is to measure the time that you wait in virtual slots, not in actual seconds. If you measure in actual seconds, it doesn't work. And the third idea is to distribute back to achieve maximum social welfare under assumptions.
First one, can you say anything about how much it scales?
The tokening? Well, it scales nicely to many, many levels.
It scales, but yeah. Don't so I have to, okay, so here's the question, the underlying question on the question. If I don't kind of synchronize the mass along the path, right, like I do in traffic, in urban traffic, where I create green zones, right, then okay, I may have locally what you have, which is a reservation scheme, essentially, like the battery.
Yeah.
But if I don't synchronize it, queues will be built up. So you have to consider how the max along the path get to be synchronized, and that involves routing.
So
otherwise, if
yeah,
I don't
so
get
no, no, no,
this is
a single
in this context.
It's a single domain, right? This protocol is designed for single domain.
Single domain means what?
Meaning that they only each other.
Within a neighborhood only?
Yes, yes.
So it's only local?
Yes, yes.
Okay, but I'm interested in end-to-end performance, so then?
So end-to-end performance, they all hear each other, so end-to-end is one hop.
That's not hop.
Yeah, so it's like a Wi-Fi hotspot, right?
So have you thought about linking this to a routing analysis together?
The problem is that if you have different collision domains,
right,
then they will not all hear the same collisions. And therefore, they will
right.
They will conflict. The reservation scheme will not work.
But think about what's going to happen in Los Angeles, right? If I don't synchronize the cross streets across the highways, right? I will get terrible delays, right? So there has to be some communication between routing and MAC to be able to affect very good throughput.
In a general network, yes. But again, it's a single domain.
Right, but you have a hit. Okay. There's something very positive in what you described, right? That at least our thinking is that more and more TDM ideas, right, or scheduling ideas, in combining routing and scheduling,
yes,
may actually be better than just doing
random access.
Right,
yes.
Or frequency or other things. Right?
Yes.
So that means then that in the interest of synchronization, you may want to look not just in the single neighborhood, but how things go.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
That may be an interesting thing,
yes,
to look in the future, since we are supposed to talk a bit about,
yes,
dream ideas or whatever.
Right, so there are some ideas that have been proposed for TDM, right? Distributed,
right,
coloring of a graph, right? So, but here it does not quite extend in that way. But
can you give a little more insight on this entropy of independent sets? I didn't quite get it. And, you know, since you're inputting the constraint that the flow rates are met, then I could put another cost function there. So why would I put that particular?
Well, it turns out that because of the shape of this product form distribution of the independent sets, if you maximize the entropy subject to feasibility constraint, you are in fact minimizing the distance between the distribution of those independent sets and the distribution that is required to carry the flows. So you are minimizing the feedback loop distance between the two distributions. And I don't have a simple explanation other than looking at the algebra of this product form distribution.
Isn't it coming out of Lezanne transforms and things like that when I go to distributions and look at where the exponents happen. I think that's where it's coming.
That's where it's coming.
It's like a maximum entropy kind of thing.
Yeah, it's maximum.
It's like maximum entropy. So I have several distributions, and if I do this way, I get this loop.
That's right. Yeah. So we know that the Gibbs distribution maximizes the
entropy. Right.
So
then you have constraints.
Right. And we have constraints.
So you look at the measure set, and you do that.
And you do
the result of something comes out. That's okay.
So sorry, I don't have a better.
Yes. Well, this this particular graph is shown on the zero collision net protocol. Have you looked at the protocol called ZMAC? And it has exactly the same behavior at this point. It actually works in the sort of any type of interference environment.
Oh,
it actually combines the TDMA and the CSMA together, and then also deals with the clock asynchrony and also the.
We
actually have an implementation of that. So it's the same curve.
The same curve.
Yeah.
But the curve is not so
it
high.
It starts from Z as well. So it's Z.
You waste the whole thing, yeah. Yeah, you cannot do you know, kind of sense like a wireless thing. Yes,
So I don't know how any of these protocols are affected by interference. Let's say local interference for this protocol. would a node get out of sync?
Probably they get out something and hopefully it recovers quickly.
But let's just say that robustness has not been studied in almost any protocol that is in practice. So this is a very real future type question that we really need to address all these questions about robustness.
Yes.
I have one more question.
Yes.
On the second one, same type of question. You're trying to do things proportional to the waiting times again.
Yes, yes.
When they know the waiting times, what is the effect of delays or
it's a one domain thing, right? So they watch the channel and they watch the transmissions, they watch the collisions and they count 1, 2, 3.
But even if there's one single domain, they're not going to have perfect information.
No, that's right.
There will be lost things because of
people. So is it robust with respect to those losses?
Okay, so
maybe you count it 5 instead of 4, right? So you transmit a little bit more, but maybe the next time around it will be okay.
Okay, but this is still to be studied, right?
Yes, of course.
We'll introduce a panel about robustness.
Okay, very good, thanks.
Thank you.